Hey
Hey
guys,
guys.
welcome back to Likewise Pod. I'm Issa.
And I'm Sam, and we're so excited for another episode this week. And once again, it is a guest episode, everybody's favorite. We know it's ours. But today we are so excited because we have one of our amazing author friends, Jessica Sydney, with us. And we're just so excited for you to get to meet her if you don't already know her, seen her, all the things. But we love her so much, and we're just so excited for this episode and to learn all about her and her debut. So, Jessie, I will let you introduce yourself, however.
Well, hey, I'm Jessie. My author name is Jessica Sydney, but I actually prefer to be called Jessie, which a lot of people don't know, and that's okay. I'm a romance author. I love to write stories that make readers feel the emotions. So
Oh my
I love
gosh,
that.
how fun. We are readers who love to feel all the emotions. So, match made in heaven. Perfect. I, for one, am so excited for this episode because Sam and I have been following you for a while now, Jesse. And I mean, I'm sure you know that. And it's been so fun building this relationship with you over Instagram. And so, I'm really excited to get the chance to talk with you.
So excited to talk to you guys. So,
So before we get into that, of course, we're going to start with our roses and thorns of the week. So Sam, do you want to kick us off?
yeah, okay. I'm gonna try to keep it short because I always feel bad. Sometimes I have like long stories and it's a guest episode, and I'm like, well, I'm taking away from all the good stuff. But my thorn is that I'm a little down bad at the moment. I had some chaos happen with my jaw. I have like really bad TMJ, and last night I had like one nice pop that like it just felt like really relieving. Like the head pressure, it felt great. And then it happened again, and after it happened, it was like instant pain. And then the whole like that side of my face has been numb. So that's really fun. And I've never experienced that before, but it's like kind of swollen and kind of numb, and I'm getting like ear and head pain from it too. So I think I did a little bit of nerve damage. So we're just gonna let that work itself out for now. Which is also funny because the other night after we recorded, I was like, wow, like my like jaw is really sore, but like maybe my like cheeks and everything, like I was smiling so much and laughing so much that like I think it's just sore. And then this all happened. So I'm like, okay, never mind. I need to take it easy. So hopefully it doesn't hurt after this. And then my rose is that I read three books in the last week, which like slump who? Like I've literally been nonstop talking about how I'm in the biggest slump, but I've read three books, partially because I had to. No, not had to, but had to. So it was just very exciting. I think my slump is gone because they are all like very great books. So yes, very exciting. Jesse, what are your roses and thorns?
My thorn, just stress. Being an author, and especially an indie author, you get stressed out because there's so many different little things, especially things that I didn't expect. I didn't know how much of a process it was going to be, and I didn't realize that, stress was going to be like anxiety too. Anxiety and stress, they work hand in hand. It's great.
Yeah.
Rose, I ordered my author copies finally for my debut. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, so it won't have this stripe on it anymore. So I will
Yes.
be able to actually see her face. You guys won't be able to see it, but like I can't. It's so annoying. It's like, why does it have
Perfect
to
spot.
be my face?
Oh my goodness, that is so exciting! Oh my gosh, I'm so stoked for you.
Thank
It's gonna be
you.
so good.
Yeah.
Okay, my thorn, yeah, also stress. Just so much to do and so little time to actually do it. So live, laugh, love. What's new? Nothing. And my rose is that last night I was like at my young adult group at church or whatever, and I'm like texting one of my friends like, hey, can you drive me to like a retreat that we're doing in a couple weeks? And then she's like, sure. And then she's like, by the way, I'm at the mall right now and I got you something. I was like, what the frick? And if you're a longtime Likewise listener, you know that gifting is like bottom of my love languages. Like, it makes me so uncomfy because I'm like, shoot, now I'm indebted to you. And so it's like really funny, me and Sam being best friends, because hers is gifting. But yeah, so she came way late, and then at the end of the night, she like, we went over to her car, and then she gave it to me, and then I unwrapped it, and it's this necklace. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the cutest thing. It has like a little cowboy boot on it, and it's just, it's so cute. I'm obsessed with it. And it was the first time that I've like received a gift like totally out of the blue like that, that I haven't felt like I owe that person for it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe gifting has maybe somehow moved up in my love languages. I don't know. That's so crazy. But now I don't totally hate it. But yeah, that was just so sweet. I'm like, oh, so fun.
That is so sweet. Yeah, I love giving gifts, but like getting gifts is still an uncomfy thing for me.
Understandable.
Okay. Well, before we just kind of like dive into more questions, getting to know you, we figured we would talk a little bit of like quick promotional things about After All This Time, because we've been waiting on this. Honestly, our listeners probably do know that today is the release date because we love to say it, but today, the day this episode goes up, is the release date for After All This Time, which is so wild, because like recording beforehand to be able to say that, it probably feels a little weird. But we figured we'd just open the floor for you to give any kind of little quick rundown about After All This Time, where readers can find it, and all the good stuff.
Okay, so After All This Time is my debut romance novel. It's the first book in the Sunset Cove series, so the series is is interconnected standalones. It's about Noah and Danny. They're two childhood rivals, and they stopped talking to each other for 5 years, but they're brought back together by an unexpected tragedy.
Ooh, that is so exciting. Like, okay, I know I just saying the word exciting after tragedy, but like, still, it's just like, it's, that is like enough to just like suck me in. I'm like, oh, I need to know more. But yes, so exciting. It is out now. So after you listen, go find it. We'll have links in the episode description to everywhere you can buy it, all the good stuff. So yes. And also, before we forget, because we'll probably forget by the end of the episode.
Oh, so true.
You can find Jessie on Instagram at author Jessica Sydney. Yes.
It'll be linked.
Oh my gosh. It's so weird being here from like before you changed your Instagram name. I was like, wait, did I say that right? Because when we followed you, that was not it. But that was like kind of cool.
Okay, there's this thing. So I had to make a new email because I didn't want to use my old one. I still use it for random things. And I try to like transfer all of my emails to the new one. Don't do that. I had the biggest headache doing it. I was just like, no. I can't do this anymore.
No, that's so real.
I think about that all the time. It's also, and with just like other Instagrams, like sometimes I just think about it, I'm like, oh, do I need to make another Instagram for this like new thing I'm doing? Or can I just like get, how long can I get away with not making a new one? Like, that's how I feel recently. Oh my goodness. But we're just so, so excited for all these questions, because After All This Time has just been one of our most anticipated reads. So we're so excited to talk about it more. So obviously we cannot learn about After All This Time without learning about you. So when did you fall in love with writing, and what ultimately like made you decide you wanted to publish?
Well, writing is just something I've loved since I was a kid. I don't even know what really got me into it. I really loved the fact that I was able to escape reality and just transport myself into alternate realities and all these things. But what made me decide to publish, it's kind of interesting, kind of not, it depends on the person. But I actually wasn't a reader. I hated reading. pretty much all throughout my life. And then all of a sudden, in late 2022, I picked up Jeanette McCurdy's memoir, which was very good, by the way. Highly recommend it. And for some reason, it just propelled me and just made me fall in love with reading. And then I decided to make a bookstagram because I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, I really love the community, and I thought it was really interesting. And then I found, you know, the indie author community that way and talked to a few authors. And I'm like, oh, you can actually do this. Like, this is really cool. I never knew that you could actually do that and that that community existed. So I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm just going to do it. So I did it.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Honestly, it's kind of refreshing hearing an author be like, yeah, I didn't grow up wanting to do this. I didn't grow up even liking to read, because that's so me. I'm like, I did not even like to read until when was it, like 2021, because I was like, shoot, I should read, I should practice my literacy. So then I got book of the month, so then I'm like, okay, I'm investing money, so now so now I'll read. But I've only read like a handful of my book of the month, so that's really awkward for me. But no, that's so cool. And the fact that that was like such a quick turnaround for you, like starting to read and like falling in love with it and just like being a reader girly, and now an author girly, that's so fun. That's so exciting. I am obsessed with that, actually, so much.
It's wild though, because when I was younger, I really wanted to do it, but at the same time, I was like, no, I couldn't actually do this. And it's funny, my grandmother's boyfriend asked me at some point, my mom like tried to jog my memory about it, and he asked me something to the effect of like, would you ever publish? I'm like, no, never. No.
Jokes
and
on
it's
you.
Just funny. I'm like, yeah, well.
Here we are.
Surprise to all of us.
Right.
Oh my gosh. So now let's take a quick trip to Sunset Cove. Can you tell us a little bit more about the small town that After All This Time takes place in, and what was it like to create it?
Well, initially I was just gonna do more realistic kind of things, but I thought it would be fun and more of a challenge to make my own fictional town. And it was. It's definitely a labor of love for sure when you make an entire town from scratch, because there's a lot involved, you know, obviously the names of everything. For me, it was really important to have small businesses just because it's a small town. So I had to come up with all the different names for those, and I wanted the names to kind of reflect the coastally kind of vibes. And then branding played a big role. I knew I had to do some type of logos for them so I could actually envision the aesthetic and what they could actually look like and feel like vibe wise. And obviously I knew that there had to be a beach because, you know, it's set in a coastal small town. It wouldn't make sense at all if it was a beach.
Right.
But no, the whole process was really fun though. I don't know if I would do it again, like in like near future, because it's a lot of work, but it was really worth it though, because it's been really fun creating content for it and seeing, you know, people's interactions and reactions with it, especially with the ARC readers. It's really cool to see how they're like, oh, I'm gonna go there. I'm like, I wanna go there too, man. I wish it was real.
Right. Oh, that's so fun. Now your whole town is just like built and ready, and you have like the obviously next books, like you said, it's an interconnected series, so like you obviously don't have to like start over and make a whole new town again, and you can kind of just like plant these stories in the town that you already spent so much time creating for the first book. So that'll be so fun, and also like I'm sure readers will be so excited to like read the next book and still feel like they're in the same town, because like they're going to the same places or there's things that they recognize. So that's so fun. I love
places in like the first this book, like with After All This Time, that might not show up, and there might be other places that don't show up in this one that are going to show up in future books. So I'm very excited about that. That'll be fun.
You get to just like unlock more parts of the town. That's so fun. Okay, that is so exciting. I'm very, very, very excited. I have not read like a lot of interconnected standalone type of series, and so I feel like that's been kind of fun for me. Like the few that I have, it has been nice how different each story like becomes and doesn't feel like you're just like continuing. So I love that. But with this being your debut, besides like creating the small town, like what is something you have learned from like any other part of the process from bringing your debut to life that you would like to share with other indie authors or like something that could be like good advice for them?
I can say the first thing is I learn something new every single day. And it's very cool, but it's also very overwhelming because you just retain so much information and new things. But it's also really rewarding because there's so many different people that are at different levels. You know, somebody like me that's still like working on their debut, or somebody who's a little more seasoned who's published multiple books, and getting different perspectives that way is really cool. Okay. I wrote down a lot of notes. Mostly everybody who knows, I'm very scatterbrained right now. So, like, writing down notes is essential for me.
Yes.
So, my first tip is to market your book as early as you can. I kept hearing that like right when I started writing the first draft, and I didn't really understand why, but I think it really helps to gain the interest of readers for sure. And it also is kind of fun in a way too, because you get to build that reader base at the same time. The second thing, definitely reach out to other authors in the community. We don't bite, I swear. We're nice people. And it's like, it's so cool to be able to talk to, like I kind of mentioned, to other indies, because, you know, they're all at different stages. Some of them may be in the same stage as you if you're publishing your debut like I am. It's really cool to be able to talk to other authors who have been through the same thing and can share their wisdom and experience. And the third and final thing, which is something that I'm really bad at sometimes, is taking breaks when you find that it's necessary. So self-publishing is a very rewarding experience, but it can be mentally draining sometimes. So don't forget to take care of you, because your mental health is important. The book will always be there.
Yes, that's so good. Whoa, so sorry. I like had something and then it left. That's so awkward. My
It
bad.
happens to me all the time. No,
No, I know. See, that's what the notes are for. Like literally for our co-host interviews, I write down every single thing. And then I still go off script and like talk way too much. And Sam like writes not as much, and like sometimes she'll go off script, but I'm like, dang, I wish I could be like you. But like a follow-up to that is like, what, like of the whole process, like of the things that you've learned, like what is like one or some, I don't know, of your favorite moments or like part of it all, like from the idea to writing to posting to arcs to releasing, like of all these things, like what's been your favorite so far?
So I wrote down three. The first one is like the ideation process. So coming up with like the idea for the book was really fun, because I didn't really know what I wanted it to kind of look like, because I pantsed my way through this. So if like you don't know what pantsing is, if you're not in like the author kind of world, it's basically just writing as you go. So I'm never doing that again. But no, I mean, the ideation process was really fun because you kind of get to actually see the book take shape without actually writing it. And then, of course, like the next one was actually writing the book. Writing the first draft was really fun. And then the third thing is creating content, which sometimes I have a love-hate relationship with, because sometimes it can be very stress-inducing, but I love making content. I've loved graphic design for a long time. So doing it for like my own book is really wild, but also so much fun.
Yes, that's so good. And we're so obsessed with like everything you've designed, like on your own. It's very impressive and it's definitely a skill that you have in your tool belt. The aesthetics are amazing.
Well, thank
Over.
you. I appreciate that.
Yes. So on top of that, this is so funny. I'm getting lost in our doc too. Wow, what a day. It is, that is the type of day this is. Like I'm
It
getting
really has been
lost.
a day.
But aside from like creating your own content, it's also been so fun to see content that you have worked with other people to create. So like character art and things that you've commissioned for Noah and Danny. So like I don't know, like what was it like working with illustrators and like designers on bringing your characters to life visually?
Okay, so the first thing I have to say is I'm extremely addicted to character art now. Like, I don't think I will ever be able to go without getting character art done for a book. Ever. It's just so much fun to see your characters come to life. And it's even more fun to work with different illustrators and seeing your characters come to life in different styles. Oh my God, it's so much fun. I love it so much. Love it so much. Yeah, I was like, if I could afford to commission 100 pieces, I would, but I can't do that.
Mood, very much mood. So like you said, like working with different designers, so you have character art and then you also have like your cover, and those were two different artists.
Yeah, so my cover, it's funny because there's one like core memory I have. I remember I was sitting in the car, like at the gas station at Costco, and I remember when my cover designer just sent me like just the character art of them, and I was literally jumping in my seat. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. It's so weird though. It's like, and the funny part about just the cover in general, I didn't really know what I wanted to do at all. I just kind of let her roll with it. And when I kept getting updates, I'm like, oh my God. It's just really weird to actually have like my own cover. Like, I just, I don't
No,
even know.
all the reveals have been so much fun. And I'm like, every single time you like post a new one, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's another one.
You know, I'm like, hey, surprise. It's just funny because then I started working with her name is Maria. Her Instagram handle is Essasketch. I don't remember how I found her, but I'm so happy I did because she's one of the sweetest people ever, and she was so patient with me. Like, so patient because I am a little difficult to work with. I'm not like gonna gatekeep that because it's just like I'm very particular about things, so I want things to look a certain way, which can be really annoying, especially like with my own stuff because I'm a perfectionist. It's the worst. But
We hear you.
those two pieces, the one with the Marina's Diner one where there's the background, and then there's the other one where they're holding hands. She did both of those, and I will treasure them forever. I love them both so much, and I love how she brought them to life. I love how she brought the Marina's Diner to life because she sent me the final thing, and I was just like, oh my God, because she did these paintings in the background, which I didn't even ask her to do. Like, she just went above and beyond and did these extra little details. Even in the other one, the one where they're holding hands, that full body piece, she did that little background thing in the flooring. And I was just like, you just going too above and beyond for me, man.
That's so fun because also like I think that they go together so well still, like being two different designers and things. Like I at first had to like I don't know look at the credits to realize it was different people, because like they go so cohesive together, and obviously I mean using like your color schemes and all those things, but it like really does feel like the same characters through and through, like no matter whose art you're looking at. And so that's like really fun to see.
So we know that Danny and Noah, like, they both deal with anxiety, and you know, a big thing happened that brought them together, a tragedy, and so like there's lots of grief involved, and their panic attacks depicted in the book. So like, why was mental health something that you chose to write about and make such a core part of their story?
I knew I wanted mental health to play such a key role in Noah and Danny's stories individually and together before I even knew what the story was going to be about, because I struggle with anxiety and panic attacks. It's been something that I've struggled with since I was a teenager. So you'll kind of see a little bit of my personal journey through Danny a little. So it was just something that I haven't read yet that was so close to my own experience. And the thing with anxiety and panic attacks, it's so different for different people. So it's really hard to kind of write a story that reflects in that way where different people can relate to it because it's so different for everyone. But I thought it was just a really important thing because it's something that I struggle with, and I know that there are so many other people out there that struggle with it. That's why the dedication was really important to reflect that, because I wanted to dedicate it to the readers who are struggling with anxious thoughts, because it's so, so relatable.
Yes, I love that so much. Like, the way you expressed, like, what, like, all the elements of that that were important to you, I think, like, is very relatable to a lot of people. Like, you want to see anxiety represented, like, in a way that's relatable to you in books, but it's also so hard to do that because it is such a personal experience and it is so different for everybody. But I love that. And it's, you know, also that thing, we talk about it with almost every author we interview, just the, you know, write what you know. Like, it, a lot of things come from the heart and come from personal experience. And so it's just like good to see that there's like there's intention behind it. I think it's like really important that when authors do include like these types of themes in their story, that like it's coming from, it doesn't need to be like fully your own personal experience, but it, I feel like understanding somebody's personal experience, at least whether it's your own or someone else's, like to make sure that you actually like depict a story in a way that's like correct, or not, or like not even just like correct, because obviously there's not always like rules, but like, you know, that you're not kind of misleading anybody to think it's like, or like misrepresenting. So I think that's so important, and I think it will help a lot of people. Honestly, like I've had so many books that even if like the character does not have like their anxiety isn't depicted the exact same way as mine, I still find myself relating to it so much, at least in some way. So I think, yeah, definitely like the readers will pick that up, and I think it will really resonate with a lot of people. Our next question, getting another little inside scenes into the book, just a little sneak peek, is just like if you have any favorite lines or moments that you have written and why.
So this is really hard because I have a lot of different scenes and lines that I've written, and some that I don't honestly that I remember I wrote. Sometimes I went back and when I was editing, I'm like, where did this come from? When did I write this? It's like, oh, it's a surprise every time. It's really nice though, because it helps kind of like keep it fresh. But I can't really say favorite quotes because I just want to keep those little secret. There is like one teaser, hopefully more, on my Instagram somewhere. Somewhere in the Instagram.
Go hunting.
Go hunt. But yeah. As for favorite scenes, I have quite a few. One of my favorite scenes involves a peach. which I'm sure that you all know that by the time this comes out, there will be an art piece that I am posting. Just side note. Yeah. And it's so about cool. That scene, so that's exciting. I love the scenes where Danny comforts Noah during his panic attacks, because it's something that I don't think you see a lot in books, not even just that specific thing, but where the male is vulnerable and in a vulnerable state of mind. So I thought that was really sweet, especially considering the nature of their relationship and how they spent most of their lives hating each other and all these things. And there's another scene that happens in Noah's bedroom, his childhood bedroom, that I love so much. And I'm really excited for readers to read that one too.
Yes, so sweet. Oh my gosh, confession, I haven't finished it. I'm so annoyed with myself because I really, like, every time we talk to someone and, like, we're fortunate enough to, like, get arcs, I try my darndest to, like, read the whole thing, so then I don't know, I can be on the inside of things, but I let time slip away, and so I'm so sorry. But I'm at like 64% right now, so it's getting good. I mean, not that it wasn't good before. Sorry. Oh my gosh, I'm digging a hole.
We all know the 60% mark feelings, you know, like when you're reading and you're like, you get past 50 and then you're like, you're getting like towards 70 and you're like, wow, like I, and then suddenly you're reading faster than you've ever read before in your life, because it's like, you're just going. So
similar to the last question, but like different, is there a character that you've written that you relate to the most?
It's funny because when I saw this question, I was like, I knew my answer right away. So like, I relate to both Noah and Danny, but I relate to Danny so much it's not funny. She's literally me, and I don't know how that happened, but as I kept writing her, I was just like, oh my god, this is what I would say, like exactly phrased. And I'm like, this is concerning, because I shouldn't have written her so close to how I am. She's very blunt, like me. She's not really afraid to say what's on her mind. And it's just interesting. And it's not even just the aspect that she has anxiety and gets panic attacks like me. There were just so many little other things. Like, we have very similar taste in music. She is an orange cat, a ginger cat, and I do too. I mean, it's weird. It's like every single time I reread and went back to self-edit, I'm like, ooh, this is gonna be a problem. If people don't like Danny, they're not gonna like me.
Wait, that's actually, oh my goodness, I need to think about that, because every time I like write anything, I realize I'm either like injecting so much of myself, or like so much of like other friends, like writing something, because I'm like, this like is so Issa, so like I'm just like inspired by her to like make a character like her, you know. And so then she's like, oh my god, like she'll be like, oh my gosh, I loved this so much, and I'm like, yeah, of course you did, like because it's like you. But
that's funny.
In the best way, not in a bad way.
That is so funny. Wait.
But like, it's so true. It's like, it's so fun to put so much of yourself into a character, but it's also like a little scary, because like you just do it and it's so fun until you have the moment where you're like, oh man. It's also creepy when you're like, when you're a reader, and like, it's so awesome when you relate to a character so much. But then when it's so close, like I just read a book that was like, I related to the characters so much, and it's probably more than my own character that I thought was making like myself. And I was like, I feel seen in a way that's too uncomfortable for me to even unpack right now. Like I my notes and highlights actually need to get sent to a therapist. Like I don't think I can post them on Goodreads. Like, you know, like, it's like, whoa, okay. But no, I just love how much like characters have been so real and relatable and all that good stuff. That's what I was
trying
to
get. The thing I don't relate to her with, though, is confidence. Like, I am not typically a confident person. And, like, I'll reread, like, when I was rereading and I'm self-editing and everything, I'm like, yeah, no, I could never do that. Like, some of the things that she would say to him or, like, do, I'm like, yeah, no, you're going to see me running the opposite way, not saying anything. So, that's not me.
That's so real.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is so real. Well, aside from personal experience and all that stuff, where do you go to get like creatively inspired? Like, do you usually turn to music, like Pinterest, any movies? Like, what gives you that like spark to have inspiration?
For me, it's pretty much everything you said, including TV shows. So, like, as an author, Pinterest is a very dangerous place. I could literally sit there and scroll for hours, just like really random things, and be like, oh yeah, that's a book idea. I have so many like boards that are kind of very basic at the moment, but they're just ideas. And I'm just like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. I need to actually focus on like the books that like, I have ideas, like solid ideas for. But I do get a lot of inspiration from movies and TV shows and music, for sure. I actually will get inspired by people and their interactions when I go out. So, not to sound like a creep, but like I'll like watch people around me sometimes, not like, you know, intense, just like kind of look around and be like, oh, like this could be a book idea or this could be a book idea. It's very interesting because I never used to think that way. And now I'm like, I think about it all the time. I'm like, turn it off, make it stop.
Yeah, make it stop is real. Very real.
Yeah, for sure. No, I totally hear you on that. I'm like, oh my gosh, we could do this for the pod. Oh my gosh, we could do that. Oh my gosh. And just with everything, I'm like, no, not everything can be a podcast episode.
That's so true. Oh my goodness.
It just reminded me of like the TikTok trend that was like, not everything can be a like album cover or whatever. And then it was just like people posting like only like their good like live photos or videos or whatever. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so fake. Shut up. Post some bad ones and then we'll see. Okay, as certified fangirls, we are big music girlies, and so obviously playlists big for us. We love them, and your playlist is so good. We love it. So like, did creating the playlist play a role in the story, or did you have the story and create the playlist? Like, how did that go for you?
Creating playlists is such an important part of the writing and editing process for me. It really helps like immerse me into the world that I'm writing about. So like for the playlist for After All This Time, I kind of added on to it as I wrote because I pantsed the story, so I didn't really know what songs would fit and work and all these things. And music plays a pretty, I would say, big role in the story because their music tastes are discussed. The scene I was talking about earlier in Noah's childhood bedroom is a really integral scene like to their development, and it talks about like their relationship with music and how that's affected them and everything. But with the playlist was so much fun to curate because it includes songs that I've loved for so long, and then songs that like I didn't really know of or liked or anything at that time. So there's one song all in it called Brain Damage by Pink Floyd, and my mom is a huge Pink Floyd fan, and I was like, okay, well this would be really cool to kind of throw that in there. But the more I listen to the song, because I've listened to the playlist so many times now, I'll know what song is coming next at this point. But with that song in particular, the lyrics just fit them so well. And I was like, yeah, it's going in there. For me, it was about like the lyrics mostly to see if it fit either them as like a unit or them individually. So there's like a whole mix of songs in there.
That's so exciting. I love the behind the scenes of like why certain songs like make it on. And that's so sweet that there's like that connection to your mom. That's so special. And then just like also that it's kind of like a mix of songs you've like loved for a long time and then also songs that, you know, you found through doing it and then are like now obviously probably songs that have a really special place in your heart. Like those songs are always going to make you think of the book. So that's very exciting. But also sometimes it could be the same thing as like the when you're in public and you can't stop thinking about everything being a book idea. So like you're like, man, am I ever going to be able to listen to this song normally ever again? No, the answer is no.
It's funny because there's this one song that I've been listening to on repeat for months. And I was like, yeah, this fits this one character that's a part of the series, that's in the series. And I'm like, yeah, this needs to be for her because I was like, yep. That's another problem with songs. I'm like, I listen to them now. I'm like, okay, who would fit who here? Would this fit a character? Would this fit a couple? And I'm like, oh my God, stop.
Yeah,
It
you're like,
never ends.
You could just like the song. You're like,
yeah,
actually, maybe it should be
right.
Netflix. Oh my gosh, that's very, very relatable. Oh my gosh, we're so excited. Sometimes this is like our favorite part of talking to authors is like almost turning away from like fully like author mode and maybe even thinking more like a reader and just getting more of like your taste. And so do you have any like a specific book or books that you would recommend to absolutely everybody?
So there is an indie author who I started talking to on Bookstagram. She was probably one of the first, if not the first person that I talked to that's a part of this community. I think I've known her for maybe a little over a year now, which is really wild to me. But I read her debut. It's called To You, Isla. The author's name is Kate Lauren, by the way. And I think about that book so much and how it affected me emotionally because it's a very emotional read. It's really immersive. The way that Kate writes, she just sucks you right into the world that she's writing about so effortlessly. It's insane. And, you know, with my journey, I'm really appreciative of her. She's been so kind and supportive, and she always knows what to say. She gives the best advice, but her storytelling is so insane to me. Like, I don't understand how she does it. It's wild. But if you want to follow her on Instagram, you should. Her handle's at the author Kate Lauren.
That's so fun. No, literally one of mine and Sam's favorite things is like having become friends with so many indie authors over the past like 6, 7, 8 months. I don't know how long, but a long time now. Well, not like super long. Anyways. And yeah, no, it's so fun. I'm like, oh, I love that. And then we get like opportunities like this. We're like, oh, thanks for being nice to us.
Being nice to me. You know? I'm a sensitive soul. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time, but it's fun.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. Another one of our favorite questions to ask is because it's a hot topic and we just love controversy. Are there any tropes that you feel super strongly about, good or bad?
So, like, my brain likes to go automatically to the negative, but I decided to actually be good this time and go for the positive. So, one of my favorite tropes, which I don't know if, like, it's going to surprise a lot of people out there, it's enemies to lovers, just generally. I love any sub-trope of it. I don't know what it is, but I just love that initial animosity or that general distaste between the main characters, and how it just blossoms into something even more like romantic and passionate. Like that passion is already there, but it just changes and it just flips. And it's just such a satisfying thing to me. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, that's so real. It's like one of our favorite tropes too. And I mean, for so many reasons. And I like that you said like any subtrope of it, you know, like especially where like yours is almost like, okay, rivals, like there is like that rivalry. There's like kind of a little hint of enemies to lovers without being like fully like enemies to lovers. But
mortal enemies.
Right.
Battle to the death.
But it's just such a good trope. There's so many things that can be done with it, and no matter how many books I've read that are enemies to lovers, I just still eat it up every time.
No, I'm like, oh my gosh, will they, won't they? Even though I know it's a romance, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these are the ones that do get together, but like, will they really eat it up?
Yeah. It just is, and like how you said, like satisfying, like that is the perfect word for it. Like, I love the moment where it's like, oh, this is the first moment that like you see the character question, like, wait, do I really hate them? Or like, oh, I feel this way and I hate that I feel this way or whatever. Oh, it's just so good.
It's even more fun with dual POV too, though, because you really get to see, especially like the male's perspective or just the other love interest, and you're like, oh, this is good, because like yes. Then the other love interest is like clueless and they don't really know, so it's really fun to read it when it's like dual POV. It's so fun.
That's such a good point. I feel like I haven't read enough, like I love enemies to lovers, but now that you say that, I'm like, I don't know of my favorite enemies to lovers books, if, like which ones are really dual POV. Wow. That's so exciting. I'm just like thinking through them. I'm like, well, I'm gonna actually have to like assess and see if I've ever actually had that experience. Wow. Love that so much. And then obviously our favorite thing at the end with our last question is to turn it back onto your book and talk more about what's next after all this time, because we know that you have a million book and series ideas and you've shared some of those before, but just like anything you want to share about what is next.
So as I said, Sunset Cove is an internet connected standalone series, so there's going to be 4 books. And I can just say I have started on book 2. I do the nervous laugh because I've genuinely been struggling with it. I don't know why. And I think it's a common thing in the author community to struggle with your second book. And I hate that it's a common thing. But I've been really struggling with it. So I'm hoping to reassess because I was hoping to release that next, but I'm not. So I decided to take my inspiration to something else. So my next book is not gonna be a Sunset Cove book.
Ooh.
At all. So,
oh my gosh.
It's very different than my debut, and it's been really fun to write. So it's an adult celebrity romance.
Recently become one of our favorites. Might
which
I
love.
Which has been so interesting to me. I don't know what it is, but the idea came and I was just like, the inspiration hit. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to write this, I'm going to write this now. And I can say I outlined this one. It was a much different experience. I have been pantsing a little bit as I've been going, which has been fine. So that combination of doing both has been very interesting, but I'm very excited because I don't think a lot of people are going to expect this one. And I'm really excited to see everybody's reactions to it. That's all I'm gonna say. I could just literally just spurt out all the tropes and like.
Oh, go ahead.
But I mean, no, I mean, maybe you should keep them.
I'm holding back.
Yeah, we've got time.
I actually, I'm like, tell me, but I'm also like, for your sake, like, hold on to those because, like, so oh, that you fine, can release them when you choose. Oh my goodness. Wow. That is so exciting. And it's just like, sometimes you need to just like, turn away and do whatever like your brain is clearly more interested in and just kind of have that like difference, because then maybe when you finish that, then you'll be like feeling a little more inspired with book two. And also, like you said, it's like a common experience, and just as like a like an outsider, like I feel like it is very much true that it's common. Like all of our closest author friends, every single one of them who we like know that only have like their debut out, and especially when it's a series, when your debut then is a series, like every single one of our close friends is like struggling with their book too. So I think it's just been like, it's been a little scary because I'm like, oh my gosh, that's gonna be me, like also like, it's like, it's nice that people are so like vulnerable online and talk to each other about it, and kind of like, I don't know, everyone kind of like sits in it together and they're like, oh yeah, we're in this together, all this stuff. Like it doesn't feel as lonely as it could, but it definitely sucks that that just happens so much.
I'm so excited. You have me on the edge of my seat, and oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for that. This has been so much fun, and I'm so sad that it's come to the end. But, you know, we're going to end it the way we always do with one of our favorite segments, of course, Song of the Week. So, Sam, what is your Song of the Week?
I'm so excited for Song of the Week. My Song of the Week is Heat of the Summer by Young the Giant, and I'm, like, a huge Young the Giant fan, and I was just thinking about the song today a lot because it was like the first song that came on my day list as I started driving to work today. And if you've heard the song, you know that the beginning of it kind of starts with like kind of like a skipping recordy sound, like it's a kind of like almost like radio like, and it would make you think that your stuff is like broken, but it just is so cool. And then the way it just like goes into the song, like I love stuff like that production wise so that just had to be my Song of the Week because it just tickled my brain this morning. But Jesse, what is your Song of the Week?
My Song of the Week is Your Apartment by Wallows. I'm a very big Wallows fan, so whenever I see them drop a new single, I'm like, okay, play. And then I figure out, I'm like, oh, this is good. And I've had this on repeat, I think, since it's come out. So
yes,
I love that song. And I love them. They're so good.
I've kind of been in a Wallows era recently too.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. My Song of the Week is Orange Show Speedway by Lizzie McAlpine. And at the time we're recording this, I have yet to go to her show. But by the time this comes out, I'll have gone to the show. And so right now I'm just in the process of trying to learn Lizzie so that I actually know her and I'm not just like fake at the show, because that would be really awkward. But I don't have much time, so we're trying. But anyways, I listened to that song because I used to be a big Lizzie fan. And by big Lizzie fan, I mean I liked her when she was still like under the radar. And so
released a couple music. Songs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she was like one of like TikTok people mm-hmm. we found. And then she was discovered and I just dropped off. And I'm so sad that I dropped off because I love her. I'm obsessed. Well, I'm not actually obsessed. I wish. Well, no. Anyways. This has been such a fun episode.
Anyways,
I thought that was a fun one because like all of her songs are like really slow and kind of sad, which we all know Issa loves depressing media, but that one's like an exciting one. It's like, ah, have fun. But yeah, no, this has been so, so fun and like such a good conversation. And Jesse, I'm just so grateful that you're able to make time in your busy schedule for us. And yeah, we've been long waiting after all this time and cannot wait for it to be out in the world.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Oh,
of course.
So fun.
Make sure to, if you didn't at the beginning, go follow Jesse on Instagram at author Jessica Sydney. It'll be linked. So sorry, I can't even remember ours.
It's this year's the first year Issa remembered ours for the outro.
And it's been the same all 4 years. LOL. But yeah, this has been so much fun, and I am just so grateful. So Sam and Jesse, I just hope you both have a really great rest of your day.
Thanks, Issa, and likewise to you all.
Bye.